Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
D-Mace, Finn, Ginnadonic, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios. Home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Darnick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. Joined on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, by Teron Davenport, who is live in Texas at the East-West Shrine Bowl. And Teron, this is perfect timing, because I was just looking at the TV over my shoulder. First Take was on, and the subject was Shador Sanders defends Deion's involvement in his career. A question that you asked Shador Sanders during his media availability at the East-West Shrine Bowl. We played that cut earlier in the program. In your opportunity to be around Shador Sanders, ask him some questions. What are your impressions of Sanders as an NFL draft prospect and as a young man?
Yeah, no, I'll speak as a young man, because that's pretty much what we're coming off of after seeing him this week. And I think, you know, I approached him in the food court. I watched him as he came in, and, you know, all the kids and other people were approaching him. He was on his phone. He got off his phone and took pictures and did all that. And then when I approached him, you know, he's very willing to talk, introduce myself. And he's like, oh, yeah, I know you're the one always talking about me on Twitter. And so it was pretty cool to know that, like, he's kind of in tune from that perspective. And just in talking to him in the interviews and stuff like that, he is a very well thought out kid. You know, he's a mature kid. And I will tell you this. I was standing there when he came out of the meeting with the Titans, and then, you know, their different members of their brass came out. And it was like, you know, when you first meet your girlfriend, you know what I mean, how excited you are. It was that same type of excitement from them. So he obviously made a good impression.
Let's talk about that meeting a little bit. He met with the Titans for around 45 minutes, you reported, on Friday. There was even a FaceTime appearance by Deion Sanders in this meeting. In talking with Titans brass, what can you tell us about how that meeting went and what their impressions were of Shador Sanders?
The maturity, they really liked that. And, you know, Brian Callahan was impressed with just how it really does seem like the bright lights. There's no moment that's too big for him. And Brian Callahan, just in talking to him, you know, he said he likes the fact that, you know, he's not someone that will be swayed or dictated by money. He's already got money. Now it's just a matter of chasing greatness. And that's something I thought was interesting. I didn't even think about that, but he's right. And even, you know, Chad Brinker, he was really impressed with the swagger, the charisma that he had. So, you know, between those guys, A.J. Highsmith was in the meeting. Kalen Reed was in the meeting. A whole bunch of folks were in there, and they're going to meet with him again. Not Brinker and Borgonzi, but, you know, other members of that staff. They're going to meet with him again later this week as well.
So let's go back to Deion Sanders for a moment, because the question of his influence on this process is never going to go away. Yes. And I'm curious how much influence he actually does have, and if that is something that the Titans have to, I don't want to say worry about. Worry is not the right word. I'm wondering if that's something they might have to, like, integrate into their planning here, the influence that Deion Sanders could have on this whole process. Is this overblown, the amount that we're discussing Deion Sanders throughout this process?
Yeah, you know, I think it definitely is. Just the way that it's viewed as such a negative thing. That's why I asked the question the way I did. You know, how much of a positive is it actually that he's involved? And here's the thing, right? at the end of the day, you want the best thing for the Titans. But, you know, if you draft Shador and Shador is successful, the best thing for the Titans is going to be the best thing for Shador. So it's a win-win in that case. And I tell you, it's just interesting to me. I know late in the process, you know, when Arch Manning was you know, over top of the Eli Manning situation, it did get some pushback late in the process, like when it came really clear that he was trying to dictate the draft status. But, I mean, it's just interesting how that's different. Or even with, because I posted something about Deion being at practice today, and Shiloh Sanders, Shador's brother, his older brother, you know, Shador is gone. He's not there. But Shiloh is still practicing. So Deion was there to watch him practice. And I got people saying this is exactly why you don't draft him. And it's just interesting to me because, you know, at the Senior Bowl, Tyson Bagent a couple years ago, his dad is on the sideline literally arm wrestling one of the NFL Network reporters, and they're doing a segment on that. And it was okay in that case. But you have a Hall of Famer, one of the best to ever play football, or one of the best athletes to walk this planet, and it's not okay for him to be there for his son.
Terod Davenport is with us. Terod, we just read a quote that Deion had mentioned on a recent podcast where he said that there are a couple of – he said, it's not that I'm going to try to manipulate it so he's going to a certain team. He said more, there were a couple of franchises he did not want them to go to. He wouldn't obviously mention any. Is it fairly safe to say that the Titans are not on the he's not going there list at this point?
Yeah, it's safe to say that. It's very safe to say that. Cleveland is one of the teams. If you ask me, first choice, I think they would want Shador to go to the Giants, but as far as teams that they don't want him to go to, Cleveland is clearly one. And I tell you, if I had a son, I wouldn't want him going there either, especially if he's a quarterback.
not anything against the city, but just the way the franchise has been run.
Yeah, the city's cool. It's just the team itself. I wouldn't want to be a part of that.
So, Teron, this is where my mind goes, is if you can get as much knowledge as you can about how they feel about that sort of thing, just knowing that they have some influence, is how do you work it to get maximum assets? Because to me, it can't just be about the quarterback. The Titans have an entire roster that they've got to build, right? The quarterback is the biggest piece of that, but there's so many other things that you have a chance to address when you have the first pick. So how do you play that game in your mind? What would your approach be if you're Mike Borgonzi to try to play the chess game of, If Sanders ends up being the consensus number one pick, and you know you're going to have some people calling you about interest in that pick, and then you also have the piece of, well, Shador, he wouldn't mind coming to the Titans, but maybe he'd rather go to the Giants. There's a game that you can work there to try to win.
Yeah, I mean, you could definitely work the game, but here's the thing. I don't think if you go to three, you're going to get one of the two quarterbacks. So now it's okay, what are you going to do at quarterback? And that's why whatever happens on the veteran part of free agency quarterback-wise is going to have a lot to do with what the Titans do in the draft and with that first pick. But the other thing is Brian Callahan has purposely mentioned multiple times, a good part about having a first pick is you also have a very, very early pick in every other round, obviously in this case with the exception of the third round because that was the Legarius Sneed trade. So I think you do look at all that. To me, you know, picking Shador with the first overall pick, I think would be good. And you look at just, you know, some of the traits and stylistic similarities, they are there to Joe Burrow. And we know what Joe Burrow did in Brian Callahan's system.
Teron, obviously, we know and understand the biggest need for the Tennessee Titans right now is not only to build their roster, but more importantly, to try to find their quarterback very soon here, but there are other positions that they are going to have to address. They're going to have to find a complementary wide receiver to Calvin Ridley. And the guys that are down at the Shrine, I heard Joe Horn Jr. is turning heads down there.
Yeah.
You have Will Shepard there as well. And you got a couple other notable guys that are playing in this game. What are you seeing in practice in regards to these wide receivers?
Yeah, there's definitely some wide receivers that have stood out. And then you look at some of the ones that had really good years. You know, if you watch Oregon, you know, against Ohio State. Their receiver, Trayshawn Holden, was here. He landed awkwardly on his neck during one-on-ones, and he couldn't practice. But he is someone, you know, averaging 16 yards a catch. He's someone that I think could come in and help. There's a few guys. You know, I really like one of the other guys out of Miami, Sam Brown. You know, he was a pretty productive receiver, one of Cam Ward's targets. So there are bigger guys that would be good options. And then you look at, if you want, you know, one of the smaller, shifty slot types, you know, Jimmy Horn Jr. is definitely a guy, as you mentioned. But I tell you one that really stood out to me, and it was good to see him run these routes up close. And just in watching the, you know, Colorado games, man, Wester, he is someone that, you know, you watch his routes, the tempo and quick cuts. It reminds me a lot of Antonio Brown. And again, I'm staying stylistically, not, hey, he's going to be Antonio Brown. When you watch him, I see a lot of that. That's what I mean. He told me that he watched A. Sanders growing up. So I just respect the fact that he was able to mention somebody as opposed to, like, everybody says Jamar Chase or Devontae Adams, Stephon Diggs. He had an A. Sanders mention. But he's a guy that I think would help. You also have to see him on fourth down on the punt return game.
And now let's get back to the, you know, obviously the Titans front office. They hire Reggie McKenzie and some other guys, but most notably Reggie McKenzie. Why do you think that they chose to not hire him as the GM, but you chose to still bring him on as an what was his title? I think it's advisor.
Senior advisor.
Yeah, senior advisor. So why do you think they brought him on as senior advisor, but not as GM?
You know, I'm not exactly sure, but I will say this. I think throughout the process, Mike Borgonzi did something really, really good in the meetings to shift things because, you know, initially it was John Eric Sullivan. It seemed like that was going to be the guy that was going to get hired. He was going to be the GM, and then they were going to have Reggie McKenzie come in as you know, just kind of somebody to help out with the whole process. I don't know why they hired him in that role as opposed to the other one. If I had to guess, it would probably be so they could have Borgonzi in place and then still have Reggie McKenzie's input, but just on a high-ranking role, just short of the GM. That's how I look at it. Borgonzi, he did something. And, I mean, just in watching, I got to spend a little bit of time with him. I think he's going to be a good GM. Obviously, it's way too early, but, you know, in talking to people around the league here, he has a very good reputation.
Teron, I know a lot of focus is on the players that the Titans could take with the number one pick. They do have other picks to make. So which players are you seeing down there that have impressed you that could be available to the Titans in later rounds?
Yeah, well, I mean, I'll tell you this. There's a corner out of Kansas. I watched him during the year, Kobe Bryant. He has been probably the best player here. But if you talk about, like, relevant positions, if you look at the inside linebacker position from UNLV, he's their all-time tackler, Jackson Woodard. He was a former walk-on, and he ended up being the all-time leading tackler. He would definitely help out, you know, there. With some of the things that they need on the inside linebacker side of things. There's an offensive lineman out of Rutgers, too. He was a walk-on, and this guy is, like, he's huge. He's, like, 6'8". His name is slipping my mind, but I watched him during, you know, some of the pass rush drills, and he stood out as well. It's just, like, at this point, you remember him by their schools as opposed to, like, you know, the Rutgers tackle. Holland Pierce is his name. I looked it up. Holland Pierce, he stood out. I didn't really see much, like, as far as edge guys that you know, were really good options to me. R.J. Mickens out of Clemson, he was another safety that kind of stood out to me as well.
Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, live from Texas at the East-West Shrine Bowl. Teron, great stuff, my friend. Enjoy the rest of your time down there.
All right, thanks. Appreciate it.
Teron Davenport joining us on the program. So you heard it from Teron. The Tennessee Titans are not among the franchises that Deion Sanders would sway Shedeur Sanders away from. So that's good.
Got that going for you.
At least you're not the Browns.
Well, and let's just say what that means. If they were on the list that the Browns apparently are on, the league would figure that out, and that would really hurt the Titans from a leverage perspective. To me, it's about maximizing the leverage you have with the first round pick, with the first overall pick is what I'm trying to say. So I know how important the quarterback position is, but you've got to do your own objective evaluation on all of the quarterbacks and then make your decision. Is this what we want to do? To me, just taking a player with the first overall pick is very risky. I would love to be able to slide down, even for just one or two notches, to get more picks. They desperately need more picks. I'm not saying you got to do what John Robinson did. He moved a couple of times. He moved from one to wherever, 12, then back to 8? I don't remember exactly, but they did a lot of stuff to get a bunch of picks. You don't have to do that, but I think if you just take the guy with the first pick, you're not really addressing, you're putting all your eggs in one basket, and you're not taking a look at the roster and saying, boy, we need more picks. I think they've got to maximize the leverage that they have with the first overall. Use everything you have to your advantage.
I think it was a little bit different because with John Robinson that year, they felt they had their quarterback. They were trying to build up that roster. So they were able to trade the first run, that first initial pick in the draft. And accumulate more picks. I think in this situation it's a little bit different because they need a quarterback, but also they need the picks too. So my thing is, whatever decision you choose to make, the Titans choose to make, hopefully it's the right decision. Whether it's to move out of that number one spot and accumulate more picks, or if it's to take one of the quarterbacks, because I guarantee you this. In 3 years, we will be talking about the decisions the Tennessee Titans made, either for or against whatever decision they make. Because if they don't draft a quarterback and these two quarterbacks turn out to be good quarterbacks, then everybody's going to be looking and saying they should have drafted a quarterback. If they draft one of these quarterbacks and they don't turn out to be that guy, then people are going to be saying, well, they should have taken the picks because everybody told them that this year's draft wasn't, littered with top end quarterbacks, elite quarterbacks. So either way, I just hope it works, whether they use the first round pick or the first pick in the draft to take a quarterback or defensive guy, or, whether it's that dual Carter or Travis Hunter, or if they trade away the picks, move down and accumulate more draft capital. So whatever they do, I just hope it's the right decision.
615-737-1025. Coming up next, Vanderbilt Athletics has done something it has never done before. We'll discuss that, and of course, Vanderbilt's win against Kentucky over the weekend. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Bingham, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.